Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It's Monday, June 27th, and I assumed today's episode was going to be all about Dodgers versus Braves, the last two World Series champions, a rematch of the last two NLCS, and we're going to get to that because there was a lot of stuff that went on, but, you know, being the weekend and there, you know, being a few days worth of news to sort of catch up on, it's going to take precedent here because a pair of huge sort of pitching injuries threw a wrench into some things, you know, or at least brought some things into the forefront. First came news on Friday of Andrew Heaney. He landed back on the injured list Friday with shoulder inflammation. That's the same thing he missed, I think, 53 games earlier in the season. He came back off the injured list last weekend, made one start, and then he's back on. So he's only made three starts all year. The soreness, I guess, came last week in a bullpen session. The IL move came Friday. They added a reliever. It was going to be extra reliever for a day because, you know, Mitch White came up on Saturday to fill in for Heaney. Now, the Dodgers are in this stretch of like 20 games in 20 days, and, you know, Mitch White was at least – they've been throwing around the idea of potentially doing like a spot start or two during there to sort of give the starters extra rest. And, you know, having Mitch White be that guy serving that role is one thing, but then now he's kind of in the rotation now. But to be fair, he's earned it. He was mostly fine, I would say, on Saturday. He gave up a two-run homer early to Dansby Swanson, but – he ran into trouble in the fifth inning when he got to the third time through the order. Now, I don't think they necessarily have to be strict about not letting him go third time through the order, but it just sort of happened. You know, there is a difference between White as the number five starter and White as the number six starter. But, yeah, that's sort of where they're at. But, you know, the general word on Heaney is that, you know, it's 15-day injured list. He could miss, you know, only two or three starts. I didn't see that the Dodgers backdated his IL stint, so it's really going to be, I guess, three starts that he'll miss, at least in theory. Although maybe since they did it Friday, maybe that's why they – I guess he could only miss two if they really stick to that sort of plan. But as you know, any time, always bet the under or bet the over on the injury when they – when they say it's a certain length, always add something to it because that's always seems to be the case. They're never going to overpromise and then have to ask questions about why isn't so and so ready later. So that's sort of where we're at. Who knows when Heaney's going to be back? But he's only made three starts so far. He's been really good when he's on the mound, but hasn't been able to get on the mound. But it turns out that was like only the tip of the iceberg on Friday because in the eighth inning, Daniel Hudson. He was trying to field a ball coming off the mound. Looks like his knee caught, and he fell to the ground, crumpled to the ground, was in a lot of pain, walked off with some assistance, limped off with some assistance, obviously in a lot of pain. The next day, the test confirmed what they sort of suspected on Friday night, that he has a torn ACL in his left knee, so he's done for the year. He's going to have surgery at some point, and the sort of timetable for that is like 6 to 9 months. So no matter how long it takes, he's done for the year. Now, the Dodgers do have a club option on Hudson for next year at $6.5 million with $1 million buyout. So Hudson, he's already had two Tommy John surgeries in his career. It was a decade ago, first one in 2012, then again after he rehabbed from that in 2013. He said he plans to keep pitching. He's going to be 36 next year. Now, he was arguably the Dodgers' best reliever and definitely their most consistent one. He was the sort of lockdown eighth-inning guy since Blake Treinen hasn't pitched for a long time and filled in when Craig Kimbrell has needed a rest or gotten some days off. He's filled in admirably with closing, so... he was really, really good. And then all this does now is you know, the trade deadline is sort of getting closer and closer. We're about 5 weeks now. August 2nd is when the trade deadline is. And, you know, we we always our usual question around this is what do you think the Dodgers will, you know, prioritize? Do you think they're going to need a starter or a reliever or something like that? But now it's like very clearly they need starter and a reliever, and reliever singular might be undershooting it. So I guess the sort of keeping with the sort of timeline of injuries, Dustin May has been throwing at against hitters, facing hitters at Camelback Ranch, and sort of doing that regularly for a little bit, or he's going to be. Dave Roberts over the weekend told reporters in Atlanta that the plan is for May to come back as a starter. So, and if all goes well, he could start a rehab assignment in mid-July. And in other words, like, best case scenario, he could like join the Dodgers rotation in early August, which is kind of what it was reasonable to assume before the season, you know, given that he had Tommy John surgery last May. It was always going to be like at some point after the All-Star break. The question was going to be, is he going to be stretched out enough to start? And given how the Dodgers have used him in the past, because even when he was a starter in 2020 in the playoffs, they sort of only used him as like an opener or a short burst guy. And we'll see what that happened. But, you know, necessity tends to change things a bit. So if May is pitching anywhere close to like he did at the start of 2021, he would be obviously a welcome addition. But, you know, there's also on the relief side, I mentioned Blake Treinen before. I haven't seen a timetable yet for his return, but he's at least throwing already. He's got shoulder soreness. The other sort of long-term relief injuries, Dave Roberts over the weekend mentioned Tommy Canley, Victor Gonzalez, and Danny Duffy all could be back at some point in August. So you got the Dodgers have sort of hitched their wagon to this. Let's see all these guys we have and see if they come up in the second half and what we can do. But it's not, there's a lot of hope there, right? Like there's not a lot of certainty. And not that anyone is certain per se, although there's different, you know, degrees of certainty. And I think that's what the trade deadline's for, is you want to help shore up what is a clear need at this point. We saw that last year, right? They, in theory, the Dodgers didn't really need Max Scherzer. I mean, they definitely needed a starter, but like he provided like one of the higher levels of certainty possible in such a move. Not saying they necessarily have to go that high, or even if there's anyone close to that available, there really isn't. But yeah, it's very clear they're going to need multiple pitchers at the trade deadline. So yeah, and then I guess I didn't mention another potential reliever coming back from injury is Dylan Betances. He made a leap made a step in the last week. He had surgery last July on his shoulder. He's barely pitched in the last 3 years. He pitched four games for the Arizona Complex League. It's rookie level at each club's spring training facility. And then they just moved him last week up to Oklahoma City in AAA. So that's like, you know, obviously final step before the Dodgers would consider adding him. So he was great for like a 5-6 year run with the Yankees, like one of the like top 3-4 relievers in baseball great at that level. Who knows if he can get back to that level, but he can at least potentially provide something. And then like relatively soon, but again, it comes down to like, they're going to need to add a lot of people and figure out what's going to stick. And so he's a solution. He's not the solution, but it's going to be interesting the next 5 weeks to see what they go for. And that, you know, getting, I guess the trade deadline, like I mentioned, it's trying to sort of get as much certainty as you can. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after this. Let's not forget the Dodgers also very much need a bat. You know, you could argue multiple bats. I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do? But so Mookie Betts is the big name out. You know, we knew that last week. He went on the injury list over a week ago on Sunday. The initial hope is that he would be back in 2 weeks. That is not going to happen. Dave Roberts on this Sunday in Atlanta told reporters that Mookie's rib is quote-unquote the same as it was, so not really healing yet. And he's not yet cleared for baseball activities. I think the latest is he left on an excused absence to go to a wedding, and then he's not going to go with the club on the trip to Colorado. That's the final stop on the road trip, and then they're back home next week. So if you're planning out, right, 2 weeks would be roughly the 4th of July had it been the minimum, but it seems like they're not at the point where it's at 2 weeks yet because he's not yet cleared for baseball activities. So we're looking at this could potentially be like, all-star break. Maybe they stringing out that far. Who knows? But the point is, Mookie obviously leaves a huge hole in the lineup. And it's beyond just, it's next guy, filling in or whatever. But also given where their bench is at, they have to start like one of the bench players every single game. Another sort of cog in this wheel, Edwin Rios, who had a grade 2 hamstring strain. And, we've mentioned this before, Dave Roberts, and he used the phrase the hamstring tore off the bone, which is never a good thing. Not enough, I guess, to require surgery, but enough to keep him out a while. One of the procedural moves last week was to move Edwin Rios to the 60-day injured list. So that puts him out until August 2nd. We talked about that last week. So if Mookie's not back until around the All-Star break, possibly after, Edwin Rios cannot be back till August 2nd. That's a long time to sort of fill in. So the current bench on the active roster is Austin Barnes, backup catcher, obviously. Then you have Hanser Alberto, Trace Thompson, and Eddie Alvarez, and Zach McKinstry. So one of those people have to start every single game until Mookie comes back just because they don't have anyone else. So we talked last week about this, how the Dodgers are going to probably try out a lot of options to sort of figure out how to fill those at-bats. Jake Lamb, if you're going the veteran route, has been hitting well. July 1st opt-out date, that's one of the new parts of the new CBA, he wasn't a major league free agent last year, so I guess he must have negotiated this. But yeah, I think there's a reported July 1st opt-out date for him, so maybe that's a thing. Miguel Vargas, the club's closest to the majors top hitting prospect, is he could hit his way onto the team. In terms of veteran guys, last week when Hanser Alberto went on the paternity list, Stefan Romero was called up, 33-year-old who played the last 5 years in Japan. And he was up for 3 days, didn't play at all, and then they designated him for assignment. So I think they're probably going to cycle through some people here and sort of figure it out. But very clearly, they could use an upgrade, even if it's just an occasional starter who's on the bench. But if they, let's say trade for a left fielder, another wrench throwing into this is, obviously Chris Taylor's been one of the more valuable utility men around. Now, he's coming off elbow surgery last November. At the beginning of the season, Dave Roberts said they wanted to keep him in one spot, at least to start the season, because they didn't want to change arm angles and put extra strain on the elbow. He has not played the infield this year. So can you essentially, if you acquire, let's just, I'm using this as an example, not that it's going to happen, but what if they got AJ Pollock back, right? Someone like that. So then you sort of have a weird platoon that's halfway a mix between Taylor, Lux, Muncy, Turner, and then, factoring in the DH there, where it's just like another sort of quality hitter to add to the mix, and you just sort of mix and match. Obviously, if Taylor can maneuver around and play second or third or whatever, in addition to the outfield, that would be a huge plus to that sort of flexibility and who they might acquire. But yeah, otherwise, it's just who knows? Miguel Vargas, they've been playing in the outfield occasionally the last week or so in Oklahoma City, so they're clearly sort of getting him to the point where if we had to, let's see what he can do. But yeah, so trade deadline again coming up. They're very clearly going to need a bat, and we also mentioned before that they're going to need starter and reliever. So if anyone asks you what should the Dodgers get at the trade deadline, the answer is basically a very blanket yes. Now to the actual games. I will say Freddie Freeman, he had an eventful return to Atlanta. Obviously, it was a love fest with the Braves fans, where he played for 12 major league seasons. He's been with the org for 15 years. Now, he said ahead of time, like I think both on the last homestand and when the Dodgers were in Cincinnati last week, he said ahead of time he plans to shed a lot of tears. It's going to be emotional. And I think he might have undersold it in a weird way. Freeman cried during his opening press conference. They set up a thing for, you know, local media in Atlanta. And obviously there was a lot of national media there too. And he was just sort of overwhelmed by it all and sort of cried through that. He teared up receiving his ring from last year's World Series with the Braves on the field from manager Brian Snicker before the game. He was also interviewed on the field before the game by Kelly Krull of Bally Sports South, who televises Braves games, and that was like broadcast to the stadium. That's one of those, like, you see that post game a lot, but very rarely pregame. It was just bizarre more than anything. Like, it just seemed like a lot, not like a huge thing. And then once the game started, in his first at bat, he got a 1 minute standing ovation before the at bat. That was pretty cool. There was obviously some tears there. So he walked twice, singled, scored twice on Friday. The Dodgers won. He was 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts Saturday. The key moment, it was a nice setup for this because the Dodgers had rallied to they were down 3-0. They got to within 3-2. They loaded the bases in the seventh inning with 2 outs, and then Freeman struck out. So that was a huge moment. It was obviously like obvious setup. If he had done something, it's more of a storybook type thing. It wasn't. But yeah, like I said, it was just a lot. I don't know if it was that big of a deal. I know on Dodger Talk, David Vasse on Friday, he was kind of over the top in his dislike for it. It wasn't that bad. What he was saying is just like, some of it was like there was a clip where they played Freeman talking about like going to his like local barbershop in Atlanta. And the only thing I really took offense with Vasse was like he sort of mocked him there. He's like, "What, you don't like your L.A. barber?" And it's like, all right, come on, guy. Like, who knows? But just generally, so I'll say this. From Gabe Burns' profile of sort of the weekend in general and the Dodgers-Braves rivalry in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he had this quote from Clayton Kershaw. I'll just read you the quote first, and we can discuss this after. It was very cool. Then Burns put in there to see Freeman's reception Friday night. Not sure exactly how the question was posed there. But then Kershaw continued, "He's obviously been a big contributor for our team, and I hope we're not second fiddle. It's a pretty special team over here, too. I think whenever he gets comfortable over here, he'll really enjoy it. It was a good night for him Friday." So, now, without hearing that audio or seeing, like, a video of how it was said, it's hard to, like, read much into it. I don't want to, like, oversell it or undersell it in that regard. However, I will say that I haven't seen other Dodgers reaction, at least reported, other than that to Freeman's sort of big night and or his reaction to it, I guess. And that was a pretty straightforward quote, like, you know, matter of fact type of a thing. Again, without having seen or heard how he said it, it's hard to like put much on it. I will say this, Kershaw in his career, I would categorize him as an incredibly efficient pitcher on the mound, and that quote seemed like a pretty efficient way to send a message, if there was one to be sent. Now, who knows if there was actually a message to be sent, but he made it fairly clear in not so many words if that meant anything at all, where he stood on that. And not that it's like a huge rift or anything, but it was just that was the first reaction I had seen from the Dodgers side on this. So it was probably a little much. Maybe that was sort of the way to say that. Who knows if what's happened inside the clubhouse? I don't really know. I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but it's just been sort of, it's dominated the discourse over the weekend because it's been Dodgers Braves and that's all that a lot of people want to talk about. So it's sort of in front of mind, but I don't think it's going to necessarily mean anything going forward. It was a thing that was going to happen. Maybe it's a little over the top, but who knows? I'm sure if other stuff comes out, we'll talk about it then, but as of now, it's on to a new series, a new week. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.